You please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. As you're turning there, I'll take this opportunity to remind you of the text message that goes out on each Sunday. And this week's looks something like what you find on the screen there, week number 2, January 5th through the 11th. And you see, by the way, today is mine and Sherry's anniversary. We were married in 2002, so I think that makes us married 23 years. Thankful for that. Thank you. She's in the nursery this morning working in there. You see, Psalm 19, verse 2 is our memory verse for this week, and we are calling those, it'd be something to get used to, and we're robbing this from John Piper and Desiring God, fighter verses. So we fight the good fight of faith as we hide God's Word in our hearts. And it's Psalm 19:2. If you would, let's go ahead and say this together. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So we're going to memorize all of Psalm 19 this year. I think the first 6 verses, we'll be memorizing them as a group. And then at the end of the year, the last part of the psalm. So we can work on memorizing those each week. And by the end of the year, you'll have the whole psalm memorized. Now, you see there the scripture readings at the bottom in the parentheses. Again, I'll just go over with you how this is broken up in the Bible reading plan that the church is sending out this year. This will take you through the whole Bible this year, reading Proverbs twice. Now, you will read Proverbs twice, but everything else you'll read one time. And the Matthew, you see Matthew 4 through 8. So what this does is it has you reading 5 chapters a week. We call this the 260 plan. One chapter a day, 5 days a week. Take the weekends off. By the end of the year, you've read the whole New Testament. All right, so we're reading that, but we're also reading through Proverbs to start with, and then we'll go all the way through the Psalms, and then we'll read Proverbs again. That will conclude in October, and then we will be adding in other Old Testament readings as well. So this is going to take you through the whole Bible. If you choose to read the entire Bible, then you can read that last portion as well, where you see this week it's Genesis 9 through 21, and work on reading through that, just staying up with it. That's about 2 chapters a day in the Old Testament throughout the year. Well, in that portion. All right, about 2 chapters a day, so 14 chapters a week. All right. Now, let's make confession to the Lord together from 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. Will you say it with me? Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. As you look there to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, locate verse 7. I would pick up reading there if you would follow along. The word of the Lord reads like this: however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. May God bless to our hearts the reading of His living word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, You are our God. You are the Lord, the God of our salvation. And, Father, we come to You today having sung of Your mercies of the Lord that are forever. Lord, we cast ourselves upon Your mercy yet again today. Mercies that are new every morning. And Father, as we come to Your holy word, I pray, Father, that Your word would be heard by us, would be desired by us more than even our necessary food. And Lord God, today that we would hear exactly what You need us to hear, what You want us to hear, what Your word means today. I ask You to give me grace that I might proclaim Your word. And I pray for the hearers, each one here today, that You would give them grace, Lord, that they might hear Your word and receive it. In Christ's name, amen. This liberty of yours. We know something about liberty. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me what? Death. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is in our Declaration of Independence. Here as Americans in the United States, we know something about liberty and about freedom. The Corinthians knew something about freedom and liberty as well. Which if you hear the word liberty, it basically means freedom. And they knew what Christian liberty was, what freedom they had in Christ. And Paul is here addressing this as we have been looking into this previously already. And I want to try to break this down, really keying on the word liberty. As I've entitled this message, This Liberty of Yours, that comes directly out of this passage in verse 9, where he says, beware lest somehow this liberty of yours. So the first thing that I want to look at is really going to summarize the entire chapter, and we're going to tap at and all around this passage of Scripture before we actually work back through that which I read to you earlier. I want to give you layers of liberty that are found in this text. First layer is the layer number one is knowledge. And you can see there on your handout or up on the screen how often the word know or knowledge is found in the passage. Verse 1, we know. Verse 1, we all have knowledge. Verse 1 again, knowledge puffs up. Verse 2, if anyone thinks he knows. Verse 2, he knows nothing. Verse 3, is known by him. Verse 4, we know that an idol. Verse 7, not in everyone that knowledge. Verse 10, you who have knowledge. Verse 11, because of your knowledge. See, anytime you're reading a chapter or passage or studying it and you see a word repeated over and over again, you should key in on that because the author is not accidentally using that. Paul is here definitely emphasizing knowledge, but he tells us in the very first verse that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The Corinthians had gotten some things backwards. Layer number two that we find in this text is conscience. And we can easily say that this is the second layer of liberty because conscience is found often in this passage as well, beginning in the text that we read today. And we see them listed upon the screen or on your handout. In verse 7, he says, with consciousness of the idol. Verse 7 again, their conscience being weak. Verse 10, the conscience of him who is weak. Verse 12, wound their weak conscience. All right, so the word conscience can be broken down in this way. Con means with, the prefix. Science means know or knowledge. It's what can be known. So the word conscience can be summarized or defined in this way. It is to know within. That's exactly what conscience is. Has your conscience ever bothered you about something? Your conscience is that which can tell us that our actions are right or wrong. Lexham Theological Wordbook of the New Testament says it refers to a person's internal witness to their own behavior that guides them in wrongdoing and the satisfaction of choosing right over wrong. So that's what the conscience is. It is the to know within whether something is right or wrong. Conscience is used about 31 times in the New Testament, 4 times here. These are both layers to liberty. For you to have liberty, really in anything, you have to have a knowledge, and your conscience has to be set a certain way about it. Christian liberty is the same way. But the third layer of liberty is this. It is Christ. Though these are not from most important to least important, that is the way that they show up in the text as far as the way that I'm looking at it. Because we see here in verse 6 that we've already been told that through Christ all things were created, and it's through Him that we live. But we also see in verse 11 that the brother or Christians are those for whom Christ died. So for us to be free, to have any sort of liberty as a Christian, we must know Jesus Christ as our Savior. What does the Bible say in John chapter 8, verse 32? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Therefore, if the Son makes you free, verse 36, you are free indeed. So freedom comes through Christ because of who He is and what He has done. Today I need to ask you the question, are you free from the bondage of your sin, from the penalty of your sin? Are you free from the judgment of death? Are you free from the bonds of the devil? Today, if you can answer in the affirmative and say, yes, I am, then it is only because of Christ, the one who lives, who was alive and died and rose again on the third day, that He might be Lord of both the living and the dead, Jesus Christ. So those are the three layers of liberty that I would present to you from this passage. But the second thing I want to look at and point out to you from the text is liabilities of liberty. If you ever heard of someone being a liability, oh, they're a liability. That means they'll cost you something. They are not going to contribute in a positive way. If you have liability insurance, and by the way, we're all expected to have that, that means when you damage someone else's vehicle, when you're on the road and you have a wreck, you have liability insurance, so you're able to cover the damage that you caused. This text points out to us damage that liberty can cause. You can look at it on the screen or on your handout, either one. They're easily summarized for us. You can see it in verse 9. Liberty can cause a stumbling block to those who are weak. Verse 11, Liberty can cause a weak brother to perish. Verse 12, Christian liberty can bring about, or the knowledge that brings about Christian liberty can cause us to sin against the brethren. Verse 12, this liberty of theirs could wound the weak conscience of a brother. Wound there means to embattle, to hit. One blow after another on the conscience of a weak brother. Again in verse 12, you sin against Christ. And then finally in verse 13, make my brother stumble. These are all liabilities of Christian liberty. May God give us grace to hear His Word today. Third, I would point out to you from this text, lessons in liberty. Lessons in liberty. Lesson number one is this. Knowledge leads to liberty. We may have already gotten that. But I'd ask you to go back now to the Bible, verse 7. And we'll work our way through this text again, drawing out these lessons. Verse 7. Again, he says, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. Now, a little quizzy poo for y'all this morning. What knowledge? What's he talking about? However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. All right, verse 4. What does it say, Tanner? There you go. And then he goes on after that to define who that God is and who the one Lord is. Okay? So really verses 4 through 6 are defining that knowledge. So he says again, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. In other words, in the Christian church there in Corinth, there was not in everyone yet this knowledge. Remember, you've got people coming out of all sorts of idol worship, all sorts of lifestyles that were completely foreign to Christ and to Christianity, to even knowing who the true God is. And now they've been saved through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they've come into Christianity, but they have not yet come to a full understanding of the impact that the gospel can have on their lives. And who that God is who saved them, and who that Lord is who is master over them, who rules them. So they do not all have that knowledge. Continuing on in verse 7. He says, for some with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. All right, so you have here these believers who do not look at an idol as nothing in the world. They look at an idol as something. And they look at the meat that was offered to an idol, or the animal sacrifice that was offered to an idol, and the meat that came from that, as something. As a matter of fact, they had the mentality, most likely, that when an animal was sacrificed to an idol, that that God was in that meat. And then if they ate that meat, that was giving that demon or that God access into their body. So there was this mentality that went along with this. So they have a consciousness of an idol, and up until that time, as they would eat that meat, they understood it as having an impact in their lives. They had not grown beyond that yet. However, there were Christians in Corinth who did not believe that anymore. Their knowledge led them to liberty. Going on in verse 7, rather going on to verse 8, he says, "But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse." Think about this verse, because this is a really important verse. I haven't keyed on it probably nearly as much as I should have in this passage. But look at what it's saying. He says, if you have liberty in Christ and you eat the meat, that does not commend you to God. That does not give you the ability to approach God in any greater way because you eat the meat. Your liberty and the things that you do with your liberty and because of your liberty do not commend you to God. But you notice there also he says that nor if we do not eat are we the worse. So in other words, he's saying if you are a Christian who says, I cannot eat that meat, then that does not cause you to be commended to God anymore either. So in other words, what you do doesn't commend you to God. What you do not do does not commend you to God. Really, this text would point out to us the one person that commends us to God and allows us to be able to approach God is the person of Jesus Christ, through whom we live. We took the Lord's Supper. How is it that we are able to approach God? It is but only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His body being offered in our place, His blood being shed for the remission of our sins. It is only through Christ that we can come. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to who? The Father except through me. So, knowledge leads to liberty. If you've ever, how many people have played a sport in here before? Most of you. I remember, well, honestly, watching my kids play sports growing as they were growing up. Like just getting started in baseball or basketball or whatever it might be. They don't have the freedom to play until they have the knowledge of the game. And then once they have the knowledge of the game, they are free to go and play hard and participate because they know what they're supposed to do. But the knowledge of the game does not give them the permission to play outside of the team or to compete according to their own rules. The Corinthians here had allowed their knowledge to lead to a liberty that was causing them really to play outside of the rules that God intends for the church. Lesson number 2 from the text we'll find in verses 9 through 12 is liberty leads to some stumbling and sin. And we can write in parentheses there, can lead to stumbling and sin. It can lead to this. And brethren, if we are not aware of this, we are sticking our heads in the sand. If we are not aware that our liberty as Christians could lead to stumbling and it could lead to sin, then we have forgotten a lot of truth in the Scriptures and a lot of truth about ourselves. In verse 9, he says, but beware. He's warning them here. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Now, why would they stumble? As we continue to look at verse 10, he says, therefore, if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened? And we may read that and say, hey, that's good. My liberty is causing him to have more liberty, to have a bolder conscience. Will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? Verse 11, and because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish. Well, maybe it's not such a good thing. Because this brother who has an emboldened conscience all of the sudden now is a brother who may perish. And this brother, one for whom Christ died. So what's the issue? Why would he stumble? Why would he perish? It could be because of this. That this brother who walks by an idol's temple, and frankly, you know, that's a little bit foreign to us perhaps. But he walks by this idol's temple. I can't help but think of it being like a smoky bar. And this brother is in there eating a steak. The weak brother walks by and sees the brother who has knowledge in there eating this steak. And he's just enjoying a steak for the glory of God. But that weak brother sees him doing that. And he then, though he believes it is wrong to eat that meat, he then goes and eats that meat. And what is he doing? Why is it wrong? Why is he stumbling? Why might he perish? Because, brethren, he is not eating that meat because he believes it is right. He is eating that meat because you believed it was right. And he is now going against his conscience. And he is not eating in faith. Though as he serves and knows God, he believes before God that he should not eat that meat, but yet he does it anyways. Even though before his God, he does not believe that he should do that. So he goes against what he knows within himself, and he participates in something without doing it in faith. What does Romans 14 say? Whatever is not of faith is what? That's right. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And so this brother participates in this activity because of your faith, not because of his own faith. And what goes further than that is, why is it that he might perish? Well, what did Martin Luther say? It is neither right nor good to go against what? Conscience. You begin to go against conscience often enough, before long you feel nothing before God. You feel nothing right or wrong. Your conscience is seared. And in this context of 1 Corinthians, who knows what they might go right back into the idolatry which they once left. So there is this danger here of liberty leading to stumbling and sin. Stumbling of the weaker brother. We see in this passage as well sin against the brother in verse 12. It says, and when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, who do you sin against in verse 12? What'd you say? Christ. Is it worth it? That's the question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to liberty, even Christian liberty. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean you should do something and that it's going to be helpful for the brethren. He goes so far in this passage to say that the person not only sins against the brethren, not only pounds on their weak conscience, but they sin against Christ. Now, I would ask you this question. Why is their conscience weak? If you were to say, in the context here, what's the answer to that question? Why is their conscience weak? Good. Lack of knowledge. However, there's not in everyone that knowledge. You see, this is very much a theological problem. We all have consciences. Brethren, but our consciences need to be educated with the Word of God. That is how they are educated, how it is educated, with the Scriptures. So this for them was very much a theological problem. It was a theological issue. And the way our consciences become free, the way that they need to be, is through the Word of the Lord. Lesson number 3 is this: love leashes liberty. We can see this in verse 13 and in verse 1. Even though the word love is not found in verse 13, we know that this is the driving point behind this, because we can go back to verse 1 and see it. In verse 13 it says, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." What was more important to Paul? Him getting to eat the meat that he wanted, or the stumbling of a brother? What was more important? What was the priority? The brother. Not his meat. So we can think about this in a lot of different categories in our lives. What we eat, what we say, what we listen to, where we go, what we watch, what we drink, what we wear. See, he says in verse 1 of chapter 8, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." True freedom is found not in doing all that we can do or want to do, but true freedom is found in choosing not to do some things, if need be, for the sake of others, because we love them more than we love our liberty. That is liberty in Christ. We are not in bondage to our liberty. We are in bondage to Christ, whom we serve, and we want to, through love, serve one another. In Galatians, to cap this off, Paul writes in Galatians 5:1 about this Christian liberty, and he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." He says, "Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." In verses 13 and 14, he says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." You have been called to liberty. "Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Father, I thank you for your word today. Much needed word that we need to hear, that I need to hear. God, that is important for us as a church. And I pray, Father, as we have seen your word today, I hope laid out clearly before us, I ask you, Father, that this would have a true impact in us. May we, through love, serve one another. May we, through love, Lord, not desire our liberty above our brother's good, but seek truly in love to edify and building up one another. Father, I thank you for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that only commends us to God, because he was put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit, that he might bring us to God. Lord, I thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for anyone who does not know Christ as their Savior today, though they may think they have some freedom, Lord, they do not know freedom at all if they do not know Christ. I pray today they would turn to Him in repentance and faith. In Jesus' name, amen.